that got forward and on over to us, that he slept for about an hour last night in body armor. And so it's rough. And of course, not all of it's going to be painted nice and clear for us. But we need to be praying for our service people there in Afghanistan. They get them out safely, and that place is going to become quite a cesspool, I'm afraid, in the next couple of weeks. So I just wanted to start with those two prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Richard. It's good to have Richard and Leslie with us tonight. Brother Richard, why don't you stand, lead us in a word of prayer for these things. So something that's kind of slid under the radar today is Brother Jeff's birthday. Yeah. Would you mind standing? We celebrate this anniversary. All right. Anybody else? You got a birthday? I mean, man, when it's on church day. Trent. Miss Lisa? Boy, everybody's getting thrown under the bus. That's awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. I'm going to let Brother Jared come and lead us, and then Brother Stephen will come and give us our scripture, and we'll get started.
All right, let's sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Now the rest of you can stand, and those of you that just sat can stand back up. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Brother Price, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Grab your hymnals and page number 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sins. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise be?
Jesus, praise His name.
matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
Send the light.
Sorry for me when you see I judge who grants mercy and love. All my burdens he lifts, all my sins he forgives. Every trial is won through the blood. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. This covenant is binding by his blood and his word. Every time I'm in trouble, my case will be heard. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross, the cross.
Ephesians chapter number 3, we'll all stand together. Ephesians chapter number 3. We began chapter number 3 talking about the responsibility not only of Paul and not only of the church at Ephesus, but also the responsibility of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple that the gospel would spread to all people, to all people. We've been made stewards of the gospel, and so we're supposed to take care of the gospel by taking it everywhere. And that's our job as a church, as a local church, that we would spread the gospel to all people, to Jews and Gentiles alike, to no matter what the background is, no matter where they live, what kind of money they make, what kind of job they have, no matter what, every person should have the gospel. And so we ought to take care of the gospel by taking it everywhere. And in verse number 1 of chapter 3, we find that Paul started an idea where he said, for this cause, and then he interrupts himself and talks about spreading the gospel and those things. And verse number 14, where we'll start this evening, he picks back up on it, and he actually offers, he writes out a prayer that he has prayed to God. He writes it out to let the Ephesian church know what he was praying for. And it's a very important prayer that we're going to look at tonight. And so verse number 14 of Ephesians chapter number 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I ask you would help us as we look into Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight, that you would speak to our hearts and help us as we look into Paul's prayer, and help us to have the same concern for folks that Paul had for the church of Ephesus. And Lord, I love you and ask that you would use me tonight and help us to be soft-hearted toward what the Spirit would have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul starts out with his prayer in verse number 14, and he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's prayer was a very serious prayer, and we'll see tonight that it was very serious in three ways. First of all, it was serious in its delivery. It was serious in its delivery. Jews in this day and age, and even to this day, many Jews will pray standing up, and they'll kind of do a motion like this, and they'll put their hands out to their side with their palms up. And that's how normally how Jewish folks will pray. And so we see that on this occasion that Paul said that he bowed his knees unto the Father. This was not a normal thing. This was something that he was extra concerned for the church of Ephesus about. So much so that he would change his physical posture to show how earnest he was in prayer. We see even the Pharisees and the publican. You remember the parable that Jesus told, that the Pharisee and the publican came into the temple, both of them to pray. And it says both of them were standing as they prayed. But Paul here, he says he bows his knees. Why? Because he cares for the Ephesian church so much. He cares for them very deeply. And we see that this is a sign of great affection from the Apostle Paul to this church at Ephesus. So it was serious in his delivery because he bowed his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was not just a prayer that he just throws up before supper time, right? Lord, thanks for the food, amen, right? How often are we guilty of that? But this was a serious prayer. He said, "Father, I'm bowing my knees before the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ." He was so specific that he said, I don't want this to get confused. I'm talking to God, the Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who met me on the road to Damascus and who is the Savior of all men, of Jew and Gentile alike. That's the one that I'm talking to. And I'm serious about this prayer, God. And so for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so we see that he interjects a little bit to show us about the family of God. And he's talking generally about people who have been saved, that they're part of the family of God. And all of those who have been saved, whether they're Jew or Gentile, whether they're Ephesian or Israelite, whatever country they're from, they're all named after the Father. They're Christians, right? That's their new name, that it wasn't Jew and Gentile anymore. It was Christian. That was who they were. They're all named after the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that Paul, and generally his prayer was serious because of his posture. It was serious because of who he addressed it to. But his prayer was also serious in its delivery because of what it was about. His prayer was concerning others. That's what his prayer was concerned about. It wasn't a selfish prayer. And I don't think that Paul would say we can never pray for ourselves. That's not the point here. But I am saying this, that the contents of our prayers reveal the cares of our heart. The contents of our prayers reveal the cares of our heart. And so we have to be extra careful. Think about the last time that you prayed. What was it about? What was it about? If I'm honest, most of my prayers previously were about me, right? God bless me. God bless whatever, my finances, bless my family, help, bless Crystal, and that's certainly others, but it's concerning myself, right? Lord, give me direction. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me joy. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me peace, right? And it's selfish prayers, and it reveals the cares of our hearts. It reveals the care of my heart, that too often, far too often, I'm only caring about myself. And so Paul's prayer was so special and so serious because it was concerning other people. It said he was praying for the Ephesian church, for the believers at the church of Ephesus. And so we see that it was serious because of its delivery, but it was also serious because of its contents. It was serious because of his contents. What did Paul pray for? What specifically did Paul come before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in order to ask him for? What did he pray for? And so there's four things specifically that he prays for. Verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, that's a phrase that we've seen before, right? In chapter number 2 and verse number 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. And so Paul is saying, listen, the grace that you're going to show us and the exceeding riches of your grace that you're going to show us throughout all eternity, that's what I'm praying through. If there's something that you can give me now, you can give it to me because you're exceeding rich in grace. And so you can give these things to me, God. And that's what he pleads on, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He prays for strength for the church at Ephesus. He prays for strength for them. Not only just physical strength though, right? Not just strength that they might be able to work in an efficient way or that they might be able to endure things. Physically, maybe they were getting persecuted, that they would endure that physically. That's not what Paul was concerned about primarily. His prayer for their strength was not for their physical strength, but it was strength in the inner man, the spirit. Right? The spirit where God dwells with us. Right? He dwells with our spirit. And so he prays for strength. Why? Why would he pray for strength for the inner man? Because the whole of the Christian life is based on the inner man. Everything that we do comes from inside, right? Or it should, right? The beliefs that we have come, the behaviors that we have come from the beliefs that we have, right? We behave based on what we believe. And so Paul said, I want you to be strengthened in your inner man. The things that you believe, the things that you think, the things that you feel, your mind, will, and emotions, that's what I want you to be strengthened in. Because isn't that where the devil attacks too? He attacks the inner man. We think about stuff that happens on the inner man, right? He attacks our joy, he attacks our peace, he attacks our calmness, he attacks all of those things, and all of those things are part of the inner man. And so Paul said, listen, if there's something that I could pray for to the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, if there's anything, I hope that it's that you're strengthened in the inner man. How are we strengthened by the inner man? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who strengthens us, which is good news because I'm pretty weak by myself. I can't do what I need to do by myself. I need the Spirit's help. And Jesus promised that he would come, right? And he has come, and he did come at that time. And so he prays that they would be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, and also that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. They kind of go together. And it's this, that our spirit would be strengthened by Christ through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that we would be strengthened to do what we need to do. So Paul prays for strength for the Ephesian church, and he also prays for love. He prays for love. Verse number 17, at the second part of it, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. Rooted and grounded in love. He uses two different metaphors. He uses a botanical and an architectural, but they give us different pictures, but they're both necessary, right? To be rooted in love means that anything that blooms out of our life would come from love, right? Because that's where our roots are. And so I have to ask is this, if we're not blooming things from love, where are our roots? If we're blooming envy, that's not where our roots are. If we're blooming comparison, if we're blooming greed, if we're blooming covetousness, if we're blooming lust, if we're blooming anything other than love, it's because our roots are in the wrong place. And so Paul says, I want your roots to be in love. That's what I want where I want your roots to be, because everything that you do comes from your roots. All the fruit comes from root. Right? That's deep. You might write that down. Fruit comes from root. And so if you're producing love, it's because you're rooted in love. But if you're not producing love, it's because you're not rooted in love. And so not only rooted, though, but also grounded in love. That's an architectural term, right? That the foundation of your life would be love. Foundation of life. That everything that we do is based on that. The interactions with one another are based on love. How you pray for your pastor is based on love. How you deal with your neighbor is based on love. How you deal with your finances is based on love. How you parent your kids is based on the love of Jesus Christ. Everything would be grounded and rooted in love. That's what Paul prays for. Why? Because it's of utmost importance. And not only he prays for strength, he prays for love, but he also prays for knowledge. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, right? He kind of has a play on words, right? I want you to know the love of Christ, which is without not, which passeth knowledge. I want you to know the unknowable, right? That's what he's saying. And so the fact is, we can't know it entirely until we get to heaven, but we can't experience much of it on earth, right? That we would know the love of God. It reminds me of Romans chapter number 8, where it says, I didn't bookmark it with one of my hangy downy things. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 38, it says this, Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." I think one of the main problems in Christianity is that we don't know that God loves us. Not only that he loves us, but how much he loves us, right? Because that's what Paul is speaking of, to know the love of Christ, to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, the vastness of God's love, not only to you, but to all people, right? Because he just got done talking about spreading the gospel to Jews and spreading the gospel to Gentiles and making sure that every person has the gospel. Why should we do that? Because God's love is so vast that he can love everybody and he does love everybody. And because he can and does, we should too. We can and should love every person. Does that mean that we condone everything that they do? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we should have the love of Christ to all people. Why? Because God's love is it has breadth and length and depth and height. And nothing can separate us from it. Nothing. Right. We say, Brother Chuck, you don't know what happened yesterday. I don't. You're right. Because I don't know everything. But God does know, and God still chooses to love you. He still chooses to love you. And not only you, but with all saints. With all saints, right? There's a essence of community, of unity in that word, right? In that phrase, with all saints. We ought to treat each and every single one of the members of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple with love. Every single one. In the youth group, every single one ought to be shown with love to one another. Not one person left out, right? In the whole of the church, in the junior church, in the young marriage class, in each different Sunday school class that we have, and also in the whole thing, every person ought to show love to every person in the church. Why? Because Jesus does. Jesus shows love to every person in the church. And so to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Have you ever just thought about how much God loves you and you just don't get it? If you haven't, you should do some of that kind of thinking, right? Just think about how much God loves you. And it shouldn't make sense to you, because it can't. It passes knowledge. We can't even fathom the fact that God loves us. But we ought to try to think about it, and we ought to try to dwell on that fact, because as we dwell on that fact, then we are given love, and we are able to show love more when we realize how much Christ loves us. And so to understand or to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then the fourth thing that Paul prays for, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness. So he prays for strength, he prays for love, he prays for knowledge, and he prays for fullness. What does that mean, the fullness of God? We talked a little bit in chapter number 1, at the end of chapter 1, about how that the church would be full of the fullness of Christ. Paul repeats this phrase, the fullness of God, here. What does it mean? It means that if God has it, you have it. Amen. Do you need joy tonight? Do you need love? Do you need peace? Do you need long? I'm just going to use the fruits of the Spirit by way of application. Do you need love? Do you need joy? Do you need peace? Do you need long suffering? Do you need gentleness? Do you need faith? Do you need meekness? Do you need temperance? God has it. If you need it, he has it. And not only does he have it, but you can have it. You can have the love of Christ, and you can have joy in your life, and you can have peace in your life, and you can have gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and all of those things. Why? Because he has it, and because he has it, and he is rich in his glory, exceeding rich, you can have it too. You can experience the fullness of Christ. Now, earthly, we have some limitations, right? We can't experience the entirety of the fullness of God because we're finite beings. But there will become a time when we'll have perfected bodies, and so we'll be able to experience those things in an even greater way than now. But we can have the fullness of Christ. We can have it here. And if he has it, then you have it. Then you have it. So Paul's prayer is serious because of its delivery. that he bowed before the Heavenly Father, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also serious because of its contents, but his prayer is also serious because of its ending. Its ending. Look at verse number 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you think Paul was trying to prove a point here? Right? Because he could have just said, now, unto him that is able to do all that we ask or think. Right? He could have said that. And that'd be true, right? He can do all that we ask or think. But he went a step further, right? He can do above all that we ask or think. But he didn't even stop there. He can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. But he didn't even stop there. He goes even greater, that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, before we get too caught up, this verse and Paul's intent is not about us. Now, can he do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Absolutely. But that's not why Paul said that phrase. Why Paul said that phrase is because he can do those things, he deserves all the glory. Verse number 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Just so that he doesn't leave any room for any doubt, right? Well, there's one, right? It's not like he's saying there's one exception where God shouldn't get glory. Paul says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. At all times and in every situation of life, God should be glorified. And according to everything, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, as he does those things, in every situation, he should receive the glory from it. Because we can't do it. We can't do it, but he can. And not only can he do it, but he can exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, he can do it. And because he can do it, unto him be glory. In the church, in this church, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple ought to exist so that we can glorify God in everything that we do, in our relationships with one another, in our evangelism, in our discipleship, in our singing, in our preaching, in our giving of offering, in our ministering in Sunday school, and in our ministering of Pastor Pirate, in our ministering of the youth group. Every single aspect of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple should exist so that God can be glorified. Every single thing that we do should be to glorify him. And so I want to ask you this evening just two questions. Number one, do you pray the way that Paul prays? Meaning this, are you serious about your prayers, and are they concerning others? Or have we gotten selfish in the way that we pray? Lord, please bless me. Lord, please help me. Lord, please strengthen me. Or are we concerned with others? Lord, please help that person. And not only just help them, but he prays very specifically for the church at Ephesus. This is something we learned at the marriage conference just this past year, right? That we ought to be very specific in our prayers. And Paul doesn't just say, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you just bless the church at Ephesus? That's not what he says, right? He says, Father, I want you to strengthen them, and I want you to help them to love people, and I want you to help them to know that I love them and that you love them, and I also want you to help them that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. He was specific in his prayers. And so I want to ask you this evening, do you pray the way that Paul prays? Are you specifically praying for others and specifically for their well-being, that they would be strengthened, that they would know the love of Christ, that they would love one another? Are you praying for other people? But also, are you strengthened this evening? Have you received the things that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus? Because it wasn't just for the church at Ephesus. We can receive all these things too. We can be strengthened in the inner man. We can, and we should. And we can be rooted and grounded in love, and we should be. And so I want to ask you this evening, are you strengthened in the inner man? Are you? Or are you just kind of letting stuff go? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the inner man. It doesn't matter if I let this stuff creep up. It doesn't matter if I let a little bitterness in my life. It doesn't matter if I let a little bit of lust in my life. It doesn't matter if I let a little comparison in my life. It doesn't matter all that. Or are you trying to be strengthened in the inner man? That you would be with the help of the Spirit, that you might be strengthened with might so that you can be more Christ-like. Because that's the goal of the Christian, isn't it? To be more Christ-like. Are you strengthened? But then also, are you rooted and grounded in love? Is your life not only springing out of, but based entirely upon that Jesus loves you and that Jesus loves other people? Is that what your life is based on? Or is your life based on, man, I'm a lot better than them? Maybe you wouldn't say that out loud, but maybe sometimes our actions say that, don't they? I'd rather not talk to them on my way out of church. I'd rather not. I'd rather just get to the car so we can get to Culver's on time, because that double butter burger with bacon is waiting for me, right? Come on, help me now. But are we concerned with other people? Are we is our life and is our interactions at church rooted and grounded in love? In love. I wonder how I can help that person. Man, I haven't talked to them in a while. I hope that they're okay. I should go talk to them, invest in them by caring for them. And so is your life rooted and grounded in love? But also, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that? We have the kids sing it, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And maybe we get caught up, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. But guess what? All of us are weak, and to him we belong. Every single one of us. And we ought to sing that in church sometime. I don't know. We ought to. Why? Because how often do we forget? And because we forget, it causes problems, right? Man, Jesus doesn't love me. I guess I'll just do my own thing. Jesus doesn't love me, and I guess I don't have to love anybody else, right? But we ought to be ever concerned, and we ought to ever be in the knowledge of that Jesus loves not only you, but he loves all people. That his love is vast. It has breadth and height and length and depth. But also, are you filled with the fullness of God? Do you have everything that you need? Because you can have it. You can have the fruits of the Spirit. You can have a joyful spirit. You can have a loving spirit. You can have peace. You can have all those things. Why? Because he has it and he wants to give it to you. You just have to ask him, and you have to be strengthened in the inner man. Are you praying the way that Paul prays? And do you have the things that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus? Because we can have those things too. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for Paul's serious prayer. And Lord, I thank you for what it teaches us. And Lord, I thank you that you love us. Lord, I thank you that we can be strong in the inner man. And Lord, I thank you that we can know that you love us and that you love all people. And Lord, I ask you to please help us in this time of invitation. Help us to be more like you, and help us to be sensitive to what the Spirit would have for us. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name these things. As we all stand together as the piano begins to play, you say, Brother Chuck, I don't have some of those things that Paul prayed for at the church of Ephesus. I don't have some, but I need them. I need them. Maybe you just come to an altar and say, Lord, I need some of these things. Would you help me to have them? But also, are you concerned about others? Lord, help us not to be selfish. Lord, help us not to be concerned with only ourselves, but that we would have an outward vision that is concerned with other people. As Brother Jared sings the first verse.
All right, there's much to be in prayer about on here. The Zach Hornick and Carrie Staniford and Janet Butler, to name a few, and there's several more on the list here. Make sure that we pray for the Chin family and the Benson family as they're going through this tough time. Few announcements here. We have a youth rally coming up in September. Be in prayer for that. And there's a meeting immediately after right over here at the front for anybody that would like to help with that. Special speaker Frank Wood will be here on August the 22nd. And then, again, the youth rally is there. And Brother Krotz and Mrs. Krotz will be having a 50th anniversary here at the church on September the 11th. That's Saturday from 2 to 4. It's out in the fellowship hall. And there's a wedding shower for Alyssa Beavers on September the 16th at 7 p.m. They're registered at Target and Cracker Barrel, according to Donnie. Or Crate and Barrel, according to the announcements here. I think he was hungry when you read that. And then the men's recharge, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table back there. If you're interested in that, get signed up for that. If I could get the birthday boy to close in prayer.